Hey, y'all, you're listening to Chiclet and Libations. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Tony,
and we're bringing you all the best in spicy books that we love to read. This week, we are discussing Maggie Moves On by Lucy Score, featuring Maggie Nichols, a home renovator with her own YouTube show, and Silas Wright, a hot guy landscaper. No, y'all, we didn't make that up. That's his official name on the show, who also has the hots for Maggie. Thanks for joining us, and let's hammer in this episode.
Every episode, we'll pair a book and a drink. For Maggie Moves On, we created Size Magpie, which contains Bourbon Ball, Fireball, Malibu Black Rum, Cranberry Juice, and Grenadine, which we topped with a bourbon-soaked cherry. You can find this recipe on our Instagram page at Chiclet and Libations. Cheers!
For those of you who haven't read this book yet, be aware that we will be discussing the book in detail, so this is your official spoiler alert. And Maggie Moves On, YouTube star Maggie takes her show Building Dreams on a new home project in Kinship, Idaho, where she hires Silas's landscaping company, Bitterroot, and Silas instantly falls head over heels. His mission becomes wooing Maggie and getting her to stay in Kinship rather than moving on to a new project far away. Maggie finds a treasure hunt, a new family, and community, and love along the way.
And a great dog.
A really great dog.
And a couple of kittens.
I know, this little kitten.
It's all part of her, like, found family, right?
I know. Let's just dive right into found family, because I absolutely loved that aspect of this book.
I think it's really great that you're seeing it, I feel like, in more and more books and movies and everything like that, that, you know, your family is not just the people you were born into, but the people that, like, you kind of
non-traditional
adopt along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not officially adopt, but you know what I mean? Just.
Oh, for sure. And I think that in particular, just the relationship that blossomed with her and Cody. And I really liked the found family aspect of this. And I think it was, I think it's more or less our first one that we've talked on the podcast with, like, a primarily found family, don't you think?
Maybe a little bit Icebreaker with, like, all the hockey team was in a way a found family, but also that was, like, you know, college. This is, like, adults, and then it runs the gamut of, like, parent, like, grandparents and elderly people and
the mental age range.
Totally, and then
widespread.
And high school students, like, all over the place. But, the way that Maggie just had her, like, her heart just, not broke, but she just felt such a tugging on her heart to have Cody in her life, which I thought was fantastic, because he really needed that.
He did. He did. They definitely needed each other in different ways, and I think that I seriously love that part of the book.
But have you found that true in your your life at all? Like, do you have people who you're just like, that person is literally family now? Like, I can't imagine my life without that person.
Oh, yeah.
I love my family, but also they're scattered around the world, you know?
Right.
So at least having some of, like, chosen family people plugged in, at least I have people who are close by as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It's awesome.
It is. It is. And I think that everybody could use that.
Yeah.
Especially because you don't choose your own family, right?
Right.
So you get the family that you get. That's the hand that you're dealt. And, and that's just how it is. And unfortunately, there are plenty of people out there that aren't blessed with great relationships with their families.
Absolutely.
And it's something that I try to really not take for granted, given, like, my own really strong relationship with my own like, immediate family.
Yep.
But at the same time, like you were saying, the found family, and, like, whether it's, you know, your best friend or even, like, strike up a relationship, friendship with a coworker, but you're choosing it. Like, you have the power, you have the choice to make that decision. Do you want to keep these people in your life, or do you want to move on?
Yep.
And that's, like, exactly what Maggie went through in this book.
Yeah. But I would not be mad about finding myself a hashtag hot landscaper guy to also have in my life.
Yeah. Where can I find one of those, by the way?
I mean, immediately he was into her.
Immediately. It took one look, and he was like,
started calling her
His future his wife.
What did he say, like, the first time Kevin was doing something? He was like, Sai's future wife said, like,
yeah,
immediately he was seeing her in that role in his life, which yeah. I know a and lot he, of people are like that. That could be really creepy. But also you hear a lot about, maybe not a lot, but you hear sometimes about people who have that literally love at first sight, like yes. that connection.
Saw her across the crowded room or saw him across the bar and you locked eyes and the rest was history, that kind yeah. of thing. No, but he was also talking about, he's like, hey, don't forget when he was giving her his final quote for mm-hmm. if she was going to decide to go with his company or not to do this huge project. And he was like, and don't, that doesn't include the 10% friends to future wife benefit that yeah. I'm willing to offer, or something along those lines.
He was so unashamed about, like, pursuing her.
So confident.
From the beginning, so I'm into you. I want to take you out on a date.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to be Kevin's mom. Like, yeah. all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin, by the way, is the most amazing character.
For real.
I mean, I'm going to give a little shout out because he's a Brindle Pitty. And I have a Brindle Pitty. So I especially felt a connection to him. but yeah.
A whole pack of bacon.
So far, Goose does not eat an entire pack of bacon. I haven't left one out for him. But he does. We're still working on the counter surfing things. Literally, he was trying to drink, like, he was trying to drink the alcohol we had on the counter.
He was trying to get into the fireball earlier.
While we were mixing this.
Oops.
Yeah.
So still a work in progress there, but
definitely.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that's the specific type of dog that she chose to write yeah. in her book, and you happen to have one of those.
So. And what's even funnier is I think I don't know if she often writes about dogs, but I know there's another dog character in one of her other books, which makes me wonder if she's a person who loves to add dogs in. So when I'm reading the about the author section, she has cats. Like, she's not even a dog mom. Or she might be now. Like, I don't actually know when this book was written. Mm-hmm. So maybe things have changed. But I love that she writes about dogs, even
How
though she,
funny.
Like, has
She's
cats.
A cat person. Yeah. Well, and she included, we got...
We did get cats.
We got Dolly Parton and
Dolly
Taco.
Dolly Parton and tacos.
Like, I don't know, halfway through the book or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Kevin became, like, the cat's mom.
Like,
and it was
he
so
was, like,
funny.
The surrogate mom. But it's also that found around. Family, right? Like,
yeah, she
that theme carried
yeah,
throughout.
Yeah, she threaded it through the animals' lives, even.
Right.
And I just
But these
love
cute
that.
Little, like, he nestled in with them immediately. They took to him. They thought they were, what, 6 weeks old or something like that,
yeah.
roughly? They were itty-bitty
they
kittens.
Were super young.
And the next thing you know, Kevin's, like, the mom to these cute little kittens. And I just love it. Oh, my heart.
I really wish that I was not allergic to cats because I like living in a third floor apartment is a little tricky when having a dog. And so even though I really want a second dog, I'm just not going to get one, but I could get a cat and I would love to see my dog interact with a cat,
yeah.
but I'm like very allergic.
Maybe
so
start with a goldfish.
Good. Just okay. a goldfish, yeah. It's way less stress.
Or a gerbil.
Mess.
I don't
know. Oh, gerbil.
Oh, those things are stinky.
They smell so bad. And you have to deal with all the bedding.
Yeah.
And no.
Yeah.
No. But anyways, yes. I've always loved the like the interplay and the relationship between dogs and cats.
Yeah.
And honestly, those are some of my favorite TikToks to watch too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cats are always like, can't be bothered. And the dogs
yeah.
are like, play with me, play with me, play with me. And the cat's like, hard pass.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
away.
I have zero interest
me,
in
peasant.
Humans. Like, I thank you for feeding me, but yeah. keep your distance, please. Like, no, I've actually heard a lot of people who have cats and some, I mean, it's the spectrum of it, right? Like,
yeah.
you have cats who want to be pet and want to be loved on, and then you have some that love their distance. I feel like we always hear about the ones who love their distance,
right.
but I don't know.
Yeah,
regardless, but, like, having three animals in a literal construction zone had to have been difficult, especially with Kevin's antics.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting into everything and he's digging up everything. And like,
wasn't like their first meeting, he threw up that entire thing of bacon on the front
yes.
porch in front
yeah.
of Maggie.
Luckily, it was before they started renovating.
Yeah.
So maybe it buffed out.
No big deal. But that led into Silas stripping down and hosing
yes.
off the porch and then chasing after the dog in his red underwear.
Yeah, I was literally ready to like watch this scene. Like, I'm like,
is like a great like rom-com movie scene. Like,
oh, and then he's wearing his like red boxers or something, right? Yep, and later on when they have their first intimate encounter, she's like, oh, thank God you wore the red ones.
I really am so
I've been thinking about them ever since I saw them. Which is really funny, right? Okay, so this is definitely a slow burn book, but in Neon Gods, I complained because it took 100 pages to get to the sex. This was over 200 pages, and I was like, I'm dying here. I need because like it's hot from the get-go.
It is.
It's so like they have that connection all the way throughout the book, but it starts off that way literally. And so the fact that it takes so long, I mean, I get it. Like, I appreciated the relationship buildup to that, but also like get on with it already.
Yeah, for real, for real.
Or get it on already.
Get it on already. Just tear each other's clothes off already. Gosh.
Exactly.
Gosh darn it.
Gersh darn it.
Gersh darn it. I mean, there he does have a little bit of a twang, you know.
Yeah.
Reading that was kind of fun. But yeah, so tell me again, you're so good at taking notes. And I am not. So
yeah.
What do you have jotted down there?
Like everything. I did think it was really funny. So Dean is her business partner, and I was shocked to find out that they had been married.
Yeah. Never once did their like the way that they communicated with each other give away to the fact that they would have had a romantic relationship.
But let alone, you know, married. Well, I mean, from the get-go, you find out that he's into guys.
Yeah.
So why would I have thought
that they had been married in the past?
But he was still closeted when they got married, and she was heartbroken from the loss of her mom. So, you know, it makes sense that they kind of threw themselves together when they were young, and they were each other's rocks at that time. And they still are, because they got divorced.
They're
now they're business partners. Yeah. They run the YouTube and everything. And then when Cody came in and started helping Dean with all like the cinematography, and then it just skyrocketed them over a million followers and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it was just so fun.
Very fun. And I liked the aspect of the modern day, like social media thing that she threw into the book, because more and more people are making their careers out of things like that. Now it's something that I could never do, like having a YouTube channel, like, but that's like really popular right now. And there's a lot of people that can really monetize on that. And so it was so funny just getting like Silas's like perspective and just how he had no idea.
Yeah.
Zero. Anything about that world, and he's calling it like the YouTube.
And
he's like, doesn't even know how to use GIFs appropriately in text messages and stuff like that. So,
but as
like
soon as he did, and he got into the family group chat, and they're like razzing him, and then he's sending GIFs and all of that, is adorable. But I did like it when he handed his phone to Maggie and was like, figure this out for me. How do I respond? How do I do something?
Yes.
So she like sends them.
I loved that.
Oh, she was so, I mean.
That was fun.
The both of them are just so fun. And
both very, very likable characters. And honestly, like for the most part in books, like there's going to be some times where I'm like a little frustrated or I'm a little annoyed with something that one of the characters is or isn't doing. I can sincerely say that I never felt that for either of these characters. Another thing that I kind of appreciated is there wasn't like a full on third act breakup in this story.
Yes.
And I was like, thank you.
One half of them was taking as miscommunication.
Yeah.
The other half was taking as, I signed an NDA. I literally can't talk about stuff.
Right. There wasn't a full on third act breakup, which I was like, thank you. Not every single book has to have one of those.
Agreed.
And I feel like it's a little bit, it's something that's a little overdone. But yeah, I honestly really enjoyed, obviously, the two main characters, but I was never frustrated with either of them.
Yeah, they were just so sweet, you know. They're funny and they're like clever and witty. Like their banter was just off the charts. Immediately, he's like giving her the quote, and then he's peppering in like questions to get to know her, and she's like, I'm responding to all of your questions, but also this is a business transaction and I'm not just gonna sit here and flirt with you the whole time, right? So she's like, she's giving it right back to him. It's not like, stop flirting with me. She's just like, oh, my favorite color is purple, blah blah blah, so I want this to happen out here on the landscaping.
It was like, didn't bat an eye, she didn't miss a beat, she just kept on going, but she wasn't ignoring him either,
right?
And so
but she wasn't really cold and crass about it. Like, no. She still chose his design, but he brought in a design that was like, this looks amazing. I can't picture it without it looking like this now.
Exactly.
Which I wish this was a real place, because she painted the town so picturesque. And I Googled it because I was like, think I want to go to Kinship, Idaho.
Yeah.
Or as Dean calls it, where the fuck am I, Idaho? Or something like that, right? Where the fuck are we, Idaho? So Dean's a little bit more curmudgeonly about where they ended up. But then he finds romance, which is fun.
He does.
So anyways, I was looking up Kinship.
What did you find?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, every time I searched Kinship, Idaho, I was getting like memory care facilities and like community things that are, you know, talking about like...
So is it even a real place?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe somebody needs to do a deeper dive.
Lucy Score, we're going to need you on the podcast to answer some questions.
Thanks, Lucy. We appreciate it. Preemptively. but the way she was describing it, the waterfall, like all of that, I was just like, I want to... go. This just
sounds
when
beautiful.
He starts clearing off the brush and she can like see out in like the mountains and hills or whatever and everything just looks so picturesque. She just did such a beautiful job painting it as a place that I'm like, I want to see it.
I agree, and Idaho is like on my bucket list anyways to travel to, because I've never been.
Every time somebody says Idaho though, I'm always like, Idaho, no, Idaho. Which is so dumb. Like, how long has that been around? Oh, my gosh.
Forever.
Forever. Regardless, I still think it's funny. It makes me laugh. So, I share anyway.
Then that's all that matters, is if you're laughing.
So, we texted a little bit about the waterfall scene.
Yeah, it was like, when I read it afterwards, I was like, adding that to my bucket list.
Yeah.
Because they start out in the hot springs.
Right.
And then...
jump into the ice cold water.
And she's the one that decides that she wants to do it. Because he was like, it's really cold water down there.
Yeah.
And she was like...
which makes me wonder how he was able to get hard. Like, hello, shrinkage. But they did talk about like going underneath the waterfall where there was the hot water was mixing with the warm water. But I'm like, I mean the cold water. But that just makes me wonder how warm it was to have gotten him from... I just jumped in ice cold water to being ready to go. Like... yeah. In a matter of moments.
Well, they'd also been building and building and building.
And they were skinny dipping. And this was only like their second or third time, right?
I think it was their second.
Yeah.
It was pretty early on as far as how many times they had sex. But because there was like limited.
Yeah.
Limited sex scenes in this book, which is fine. But, that was definitely my favorite scene.
I needed more spice, though. I wanted more details. I wanted more sex. I wanted
There was hardly any dirty talk.
There was not really a lot. Foreplay, and the scenes were very short. The actual, or some of them were just alluded to, like without actually going into depth. So I felt wanting in the spice part of this, even though I loved the book. I loved the characters. Loved Kevin. Kevin might be one of my favorite characters ever.
Kevin, either one.
I
agree. I think that this is not going to be a super, you know, spicy book as far as our rating. I don't know. Would you give it like a 2?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Like a 1 to 2.
Like a 1.8, maybe.
Maybe like a 1.5.
It just wasn't. I should have like actually kept track. Of how many sex scenes
I feel like it qualifies for at least 2, just because the sex scenes, it wasn't closed door. It was open door for the sex for the most part. So I feel like if we're doing just like a 1, that would be like a closed door fade to black kind of thing.
I mean, if I'm thinking about how many times they actually had a sex scene, they had their first sex scene, they had the waterfall sex scene, and anything beyond that.
They had the ice cream.
But that wasn't, they didn't go into detail.
But they still, she did some detail on some things. It just wasn't prolonged.
Okay.
Because I talked about, right, they were both,
so like rode, three.
She rode him and like all of that stuff with the ice cream.
When he put her hands on the headboard or something like that.
Yes, and she was gripping the headboard.
Yeah. I just wanted, I don't know. I just wanted more. Hey, like, girl, when we compare it, when
that,
we compare it to like Icebreaker, that was like literally a sex book. And then no Neon comparison. Gods, which we counted, yeah. 10 sex scenes.
Yeah.
So to you get know, like 2.5, 3.
Just consider Maggie Muzan as a little bit of a palate cleanser.
I don't need a palate cleanser. I need hot and heavy.
Well, don't worry, girl. We're going to get back to
I'm like, I need advice on how to be doing all the right things in bed. Or in waterfalls.
So if you're apparently. Looking for that, this is not the book for you.
Yeah. I'm just kidding, by the way.
Excellent storytelling, really lovable characters.
Did you have a favorite character?
That's a good question.
I mean, besides Kevin, because I would definitely say Kevin first.
Honestly, I really liked Maggie. I feel like some of her traits I could relate to. Because, like, sometimes in the long run... So, okay, let me just back up a little bit. The part that I related to Maggie on the most is she moves around a lot. And
what?
I move
around a lot. Maggie moves on and Maggie moves on?
You know, it's like... Like, mind blown.
Brand new information.
This is brand new information.
So I grew up moving... Virgin Amanda.
Too far, Tonya. Too far.
It didn't even relate
to what I was saying. It was in my head. It just came out. I don't know what to tell you.
I hope nobody really heard what you were saying. But anyways.
Yeah, go back and rewind it then.
Moving on.
Oh, like Maggie. See what I did okay, there. We're moving on.
Moving on.
But
I grew up moving a lot. And putting down roots is something that can be kind of intimidating to somebody who is just more naturally accustomed to moving around. And, you know, we would stay in a house for a couple of years. I mean, I went to 3 different high schools. And then I found, like, in my adult life, if I had been in like the same apartment or the same living situation, or sometimes even the same job, honestly, for more than 3 years, I started to get that internal itch. And I was like, I want something new. Is that Kevin? Kevin, are you here?
Kevin, a.k.a. Rosie, making an appearance on the podcast, if you can hear that. Sorry.
Hey, we're big dog lovers here, so it's fine. So just excuse our little friend barking in the background.
If you don't like dogs, this might not be the podcast.
This is not the podcast for you. But anyways, as I was saying, it can be a little intimidating to... like choose to stay when everything internally is pulling you to move on. And so I think for that reason, Maggie was probably my favorite character. I mean, honestly, like who doesn't love Psy? Like I want to end up with a guy like Silas, of course, but I did find a decent amount of like Maggie's traits relatable. Yeah. What about you?
I really liked Cody. Like, I just, you know, he was a kid who came from a rocky situation. And even though he was putting on, like, a brave face around his friends, he was still, like, trying to do the right things and trying to find a job and trying to, you know, attend his classes and stuff. And then immediately when Maggie and Dean kind of became a surrogate family for him, he started thriving in school and getting his work completed. Like, it just showed that all he needed was somebody to actually give a damn about him.
Yeah, someone to believe in him.
Right. And so I just really loved like his entire turnaround. But then again, how he came in with like his youthful experience on social media.
Yes.
To help them, you know, actually grow. So he got hired on as a, well, initially to clean up his mess because he and his friends were trespassing and made a mess on her property. But then she ended up hiring him to help Dean with all of like the videography. And I just thought that was really nice to see him thrive so much. Like his character turnaround was just so endearing to me.
I love that.
So I think Cody would be one. And I also really liked Wallace.
Peppercorn.
Which, peppercorn.
With his
whatever.
Pants hiked up to his nipples.
He was so, like, I could picture him, you know, like, he was just so, he was so ornery and like feisty and how dare you come to my city and take over the history and all of this. Like he was firm in that. And she was just like, let me show you what I'm doing. I'm not actually ruining anything. And
I'm actually going to preserve the parts that are worth preserving here.
And then you find out that he actually was so much like Maggie.
Yes.
That was sweet.
Just loved that. That when she went to go visit him, like towards the end of the book, visit him at his, like the assisted living. And, you know, Maggie is very much like, I want to see all my options out on paper and I need to like look at everything. And then Sai is so like, just dive head first and just go for it kind of guy. And so they're very opposites and very much opposites in that way. And so I agree. I loved that her and Wallace like bonded over that because he was very much like, well, no, of course you want to look at your options and like research. Like he was very, very much into that.
Well, and then you have Diana. I might not be saying the name right, but Diana, which is Maggie's sister, who pops up out of nowhere. And then you find out they're half sisters. They share a dad. But Maggie was an illegitimate child. And her mom, not her mom, I'm sorry, Diana's mom was adamant that Maggie would not be a part of that family, even though her dad really wanted her to be. And she didn't know
she
that.
She's a very nice person.
But the first thing that she got to do where she was building something was actually with her dad when they built the bookcase together. Yeah. And then that launched her entire career, that one memory.
Yeah.
With a guy who she, you know, didn't actually get to know until she was an adult.
Right.
Like that just was like mind-boggling, but I thought it was so interesting.
It was a very interesting part that she like added that in there. And then with the NDA and everything and like how could you do that as like a mother yourself? How?
But again, her husband stepped out on their relationship.
Well, true.
Had another child with another woman out of wedlock.
Yeah.
Regardless, when you find out that they were actually separated at the time, but then she really wanted, this is one of those things. You don't sleep with somebody if you're separated.
Right.
If you at all think that there's going to, this is my opinion, I'm sorry. If you think there's going to be reconciliation in any way, shape, or form, until something is signed and you are divorced, it's still adultery. Like
100%.
It's still cheating. And then 100%. Especially if you decide to stay with your wife after the fact or your your partner. Totally. Yeah. Right. Which that was frustrating to me, but I don't know. I get it. It's just, that's how you end up with like hard situations like Maggie had been put in.
Yeah.
And then she lost her mom when she was young and her dad was nowhere to be found. And Maggie just had to like trudge through and figure out how to do life all by herself, which was really fun to find out that she and her mom had vacationed in Kinship, which is why she chose a place in Kinship. And then in the end, when we find out the photo,
I was like,
so precious.
Honestly, like that part. Okay. So I primarily read this book and then I listened to the audio book for maybe 10 or so chapters towards the end. And, so I listened to that part of the book and I was like, oh my gosh, like I was tearing up a little bit that she was like, my mom loved your enthusiasm.
Yes.
Like my mom loved your enthusiasm for life and was like, you've got to just do it. Just run in there. Just like you see him. He's just running in head first, having a blast. Like you got to just do it, Maggie.
It's one of those things. Like, if you believe in signs and then you get to the end of this book and you go back and you think about all the signs that, you know, they had vacation there and turns out that she had actually seen Silas in person as a child and like all of the things that kind of pointed to them finding each other was very, very sweet, including the fact that he and his longtime on again, off again girlfriend, Michelle, had just broken up for real right before Maggie got there.
Right before. Yeah.
And then he met Maggie, fell head over heels, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
That's it. Let's wrap up the podcast. Because what else do you talk about?
Literally, I'm just kidding. Like, there's nothing else to be said. Like, done and done, happily ever after.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, like, when is it my turn to, like, find somebody like
Girl,
him?
Same.
Like,
same.
When is it going to be our turn, Tony?
I'm ready.
Oh, I'm not, girl, I've been ready.
I'm like, I'm ready. But at the same time, like, I'm also, I guess maybe I feel like Maggie in that way where I have a very fulfilled life and I'm content. Yeah, even if that doesn't happen, like,
yeah,
Like, I'm not just waiting on that to make my life happy.
To, like, continue living. Like,
right.
You...
Like, she's her own person. She's her own individual. Yes. She's strong. I mean, she renovates houses for a living. You don't get much stronger than that.
No.
She doesn't, like... Having a partner to settle down with is, like, the last thing on her mind.
Right.
So Silas comes out of nowhere. She's not ready for it. She has no idea. Yeah. Turns out she was ready for it. She also felt, like, a strong connection to him in the beginning. But she wasn't about to, like, go she into that because, again, she, yeah.
She was still very much like, oh, I'm feeling, like, you know, I'm feeling a little pull here with him. But that's not my purpose. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to do a job. Exactly. I'm here to renovate this house. We've got to reach a million followers. Like, she just wanted to enjoy it as carefree, no strings attached. Like, we're just going to have fun. Right. And she was very upfront with that throughout, like, the whole, like, first half of the book, too. So, but Silas definitely, he won. He won her over. Well, she definitely won him over, too. But
one of the things that I thought was really funny was the cursed kitchen.
Oh,
where every time she started to try to make some headway on the kitchen, it was like, it wasn't happening. Right. And they equated it to, the old owner, like, haunting the place, that she wasn't ready for, Maggie to actually do anything with this house.
Right.
And then eventually, right, signs, it all, like, came together. And so,
I think Lucy scores really into signs.
Really, like, indecisive. At least in this book. Have you read anything else by Lucy Squire yet?
No, I haven't. But her other two... Well, I know she has more than two. But the Knock 'Em Out series, the Things We Never Got Over, and the Things We Hide From the Light, those two are on my list to read.
Yeah, same.
Have you read those? You haven't read those yet?
But one of the things in the kitchen, right, made me think of... She was living off of, like, Fluffernutter sandwiches. Yes. Which
also, I kind of wanted to eat one while I was reading book.
Okay, so I had never heard of this.
Oh, you hadn't?
This had been at least 10 years ago. I had not heard of it. And I was dating this guy, and it became like, every time after sex, he was like, hey, I'm hungry. Let's go out and make a sandwich. And I was like, okay. He was making Fluffernutter sandwiches, and I was like, what is this? I'm legit. It was like his after sex snack. I don't know. That's how I learned what Fluffernutters were. So now every time I think about Fluffernutter sandwiches, I think about that guy, and it makes me laugh because I'm like, I can't even remember the last time I've had one. If I ever had one after we called things off, even.
Gosh.
So I was like, this is so bizarre. Fluffernutter sandwiches have, like, a very weird place in my memory.
I guess so.
But it was funny. Like, every time that she was talking about eating a Fluffernutter sandwich, I was, like, laughing because I was having these memories.
This association.
So that, yeah. But also, how can you live off Fluffernutter sandwiches? That's
I know that peanut butter has protein, but...
Not enough.
I mean, she's just, like, always on the go, right? And so when you're always on the go like that and you're super, super busy, and especially when you're doing, like, manual labor, I feel like you can easily kind of forget to...
Absolutely.
Like, eat. Or, like, care to even eat more than something that it's, like, takes 2 seconds to make.
Agreed. What did you think about when, like, all the little side bets that Silas had going all over the place where he... was betting $5. So every time they turned around, somebody was, like, giving him money, and she's like, what's going on?
Oh.
And he even made a bet with her. Like, he put $5 down that she'd end up staying.
Yes. And then they tied that back around to the very end, to the proposal. And there was a $5 bill, in Maggie's, like, the papers that she gave him at the very end. She had the $5 bill there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Like, on the back of the physical copy of the book, it says, which I thought this was accurate. One of the people, another author who was like, you know, they put quotes on how they thought the book was or whatever. And this person said, fast-paced, fun, and full of Gilmore Girls worthy banter. Yeah. I felt like that was so true.
It really did feel
true.
There
was, like, so much of that throughout. And, like, I feel like Silas... has, like, just a touch of a, like, similarity to, like, Luke in Gilmore Girls. Not really, like, he's not,
but not, like, calloused.
Not, like, calloused and, like, grumpy like Luke, but just, I don't know. I feel
that's why I was like, more likable. But what's the best way to
small town kind of vibes or whatever? But I was like, oh, that's really true. Like there was definite like Gilmore Girls banter themed.
I mean, again, because it was so fast back and forth.
Yeah,
like they were able to just play off each other's conversations without missing a beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so fun to watch.
Yeah,
and I wish I was that witty.
Right.
I'm like, I wish I could just come back to like conversations like that and just be like, ooh, I'm just going to pepper this in because it's awesome. And I'm like, no, sometimes I have to think about things. See, and even then I stumble over my words quite often. So
it's, okay. It's a mess. We can't all be. I consider myself a pretty witty person. And so I definitely like love that part of this book. And it's something that like I really am going to need in like my own future relationship.
Yeah.
Is someone that we can just like, banter like that. Because... you know, I'm not like all the time like that, but I do tend to be kind of witty.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to keep that up the entire time, that would be so difficult.
If it doesn't come naturally for you, if it does come naturally for you, then it's like second nature and it wouldn't be difficult. You know what I mean?
I can see that. All right. I'll give you that. Okay. So when I was thinking about this, one of the things that, I was thinking about, obviously, now we've talked about this a couple of times on our Instagram page, like doing some fan casting stuff. And then we did fan cast our last book.
We did.
So did you do any of that for this one?
To be honest, not really.
Okay.
I read this book like very segmented and also coming off of an injury. Yeah. FYI, that's why we were kind of absent for a month. But we're back. Yeah, I like severely messed up my ankle on Easter. And so that kind of threw me for a loop. Like, it, like my whole routine was thrown off. And I was even like not living at home for an entire week because of the injury. So my reading has been kind of not as like cohesive as I would like it to be. So if I would have like sat down and read this book like through maybe within like 1 to 2 days, I probably would have fan casted it, but unfortunately I didn't. Did you?
I picked out Maggie.
Yeah.
And then Silas actually had two people on it. So Maggie, I picked, so I only know her from Shadow and Bone. I don't know what else she's been on, but Danielle Galligan, she plays, Nina in Shadow and Bone.
I can see it.
I don't know if she can do like an American accent or whatever, but I just think that her personality and the way she is on that show would play so well into Maggie.
I can see it.
Being like quippy. And then I thought Charlie Hunnam for Silas. I mean, he can like rock a hat, like all of the things, right? But one of my friends was saying that they didn't think that he would be like funny enough.
Yeah, he'd be more serious.
And all of a sudden, it came to my head. Chad Michael Murray came to my head.
No way.
So really? I start looking at pictures for Chad Michael Murray, and you tell me that that's not Silas.
Is that a...
It's the same shirt, the same jeans, the same shoes, the same hairstyle.
It is.
I was like, what? It's pretty... I think it's pretty recent. I think he's about to come out on like a new show. But as soon as I saw it, I was like...
Oh my gosh, dang. That's hilarious.
I am like, you're the cover model for this freaking book.
Pretty so, spot on there.
Chad Michael Murray, Chad what do you Michael think? Murray, could you picture him as Silas?
I
could
see
you
it.
See him being funny enough? And
I haven't really seen him in like a super funny role.
Yeah.
But I feel like he probably has the range to be able to do it. Like all I can think of is One Tree Hill. Did you ever watch One Tree Hill?
Oh, ages ago.
Oh my gosh. I've watched that show all the way through probably at least 3 times.
Wow.
And so I just always think of him as Lucas Scott. But I think he could pull it off. I think he could. I feel like he needs to beef up a little bit though, because Silas is like really strong and because
he's a landscaper.
He's a landscaper. You know, we talk I feel like on numerous occasions, he tosses Maggie like over his shoulder, like picks her. He's always picking her up and like, don't get me started on the waterfall scene again.
You are he was like, that waterfall scene.
I just was, man. He was like, hold on to me. And I was like, woo,
Amanda,
okay.
Amanda, don't go chasing waterfalls.
That's right. You did send me that gift.
I did. I was trying to be funny. Trying being the key word.
You're always funny. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're very sweet. I definitely know it. Refrigerator your memory on how funny I am.
Honest to God, legit. I thought you were being funny. No, refrigerator my memory again. And honestly, that's going to be like a thing forever. It was so clever to me because I was
wow, I get it.
I told you that you put food in the refrigerator to refresh it.
Refrigerator my memory. Refrigerator. What'd you think about like Mama B and like that whole side of the family?
I thought it was interesting that he always referred to them as like his moms and then his dads and then like just the blended family. I did like that it wasn't a traditional like nuclear family where there's one dad, one mom, and you know, like two kids and that's it. And
right.
So I did like that, and I liked the moms. I liked his relationship that he had with Mama B, and then the fact that he knows how to sing and play guitar. I was like, yes, please.
I'm telling you, I'm so into this guy.
Yes, please.
Does Silas exist? Are there more than one of him?
There's got to be. We've got to find them.
Lucy's like, yeah, his name is Mr. Lucy, so back off.
She's like, he's all mine, okay?
Yeah. I loved the scene where the moms came, like he was all down about
he was
Maggie having not in a great place, him, and he's letting piles of clothes eat up his whole house,
all of his underwear,
and
was
the
in
moms
the
come over and like drink with him, and they're like, hey, we're not going to tell you what to do with your life, like they just are there to support and encourage whatever that might look like, mm-hmm. and I loved that aspect of it, but I also thought it was just a very mature way to parent, even though they would tell you the mom's right, they were like, hey, we're not perfect, like we get it, we didn't like each other at the beginning, and then all of a sudden they learned like it was just going to be better for mm-hmm. everybody if they got along, and the next thing you know, they literally seemed like they were besties, like you find them out to dinner and stuff together. So I thought that was really fascinating that you know, what started out of not a good place ended up being like a good thing overall. But the conversation and the way that they talked about like how they were there for his siblings in different ways and all of those things was just massive. So mature, something that like you could literally strive to do in your own families.
Yeah.
Just so good.
No, I agree. I think that that's something that a blended, I feel like they're like the epitome of like a really well-functioning blended family. Like yep. even just the siblings like group text, like everybody contributed and everybody like can razz on each other. And like, that's just how they communicate, but they're always all there for each other yeah. and they're supportive. And even like at the, towards the end, the scene where they're all at the house, I think it was for the party and Maggie's dad is there. And like all of his siblings pretty much like step in between him
yeah,
and
like
the dad.
Yeah, they become like a human barricade.
Nope, you're not going to go punch him in the face
shit.
Just because
this event.
You're not going to do
it. This is for Maggie, and
it.
You're not going to make an ass out of yourself by like starting a fight with her dad. Like
her dad, yeah.
Stupid.
But they were like all there for him in that way too. And yeah. So I really liked how she went very non-traditional with family in this book, and I think it was like a really cool kind of in the background theme that she kept up through the whole book though. So no, I really like that. I also liked how there was like a little bit of a mystery in this book,
like the treasure hunt
yeah the
that part of it, yeah,
a little bit of like, oh, like national treasure like feel, not like,
I mean, when you think about like sometimes renovating old houses, people uncover all sorts of stuff in those houses.
Yeah,
so to have actually found out that there were like a secret room and there were all these documents, and then you find out who A. Campbell really is,
and Ava Campbell and Aaron, and I don't know, I thought that was a really, that was a fun, like,
well, and then when they found the treasure, it was the town's treasure. It wasn't like, we found this money and now we're going to go off and be rich. Right. It was like, we're putting this into the community. Yeah. How awesome is that going to be?
Yeah, for sure.
So I just, you know, again,
I liked that.
A mature way of like doing life.
For sure.
Not just being out for number one, but like for your fellow man.
Yeah.
Your fellow townies.
Your fellow townies. No, that's very true, though. I couldn't really... there was not, like, a singular, like, extremely selfish character in this book. And that's another thing that I really liked. I don't know. Just even, like, the supporting characters.
Well, you kind of thought that Wallace was for a long time until he comes out and he shares about, like, Flo and his... mm-hmm. This love that he had unrequited, basically, for so long. But it was cute that they kind of had a little thing at the launch party.
I just always liked Wallace. I don't know. Because, like, I'm so used to, like... so many of my patients are, like, elderly men. And, like, when you've been a nurse for so long and you're just kind of used to these, like... grumpy old men, and gosh, I swear those, they're like some of my favorite patients, because you can just kind of, all you have to do is find one commonality with somebody, and then you just slowly break down those barriers.
Yeah.
And like, cause I can think of so many patients in the past that have been like that. And so I liked Wallace from like
the get-go, like when he even knocks honestly. On her door and he's you're like, here to destroy history.
Freaking hilarious. I loved that.
Her range of characters and personalities was so fun. And like, okay, their mayor's a cat or a goat. Right. What was it? A goat?
No, it was a cat.
A cat.
It was a cat.
So like, what? But then, of course, they have like an acting mayor. But it was just so funny to be like, really? Which I heard, isn't that like a real thing in some city in Alaska or something? They have like a dog that's the mayor.
I don't know.
I think it's
did you research?
I think that's a true story. I did not research that. I feel like I heard it ages ago, so it could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
I wouldn't put it past some of these tiny towns, though. You know.
I thought it was really, really fun how. You know, Silas, he was a bit hands-on in some ways. Like, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to do it like this. But when he was trying to encourage Maggie to celebrate small victories instead of just like, hey, look, you don't just celebrate like the house is finished and it's all done. But you celebrate things in between. So so what happened if Cody comes home and he tells you he got an A on this test? What are you going to do? And she's like, we're going to celebrate. We're going to do like a party and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so why aren't you doing the same thing in your life? Like, why aren't you celebrating the small things as well? Why are you just seeing these big milestones as the only thing to celebrate instead of all of the, and I loved that because I was like, we're always looking for the next big thing, right? Yeah. Like, why don't we stop and celebrate the little things, you know? Like, we have 500 followers on our Instagram page now. Like, that is a big, to me, that's a big number.
Yeah. Me too. Like, I was super excited when we broke through that.
So, I'm like, why, you know, now they just were reaching a million followers on YouTube.
Channel, yeah.
So, obviously, we're not there, but I'm not celebrating 500 because it's not a million, right? Like, I'm so excited. And that's, I mean, it's Instagram followers, not necessarily podcast followers, but maybe we'll get there.
Yeah.
And if we don't, and it ends up being five people and our parents, then it's awkward because we talk about some stuff. But whatever it turns out to be, we're still going to celebrate it, right? Yeah. Like,
I really love that. And I really like that you brought that up because I think it's just something that just like even our podcast or like your successes aside, it's something that can be so beneficial for your mental health. Just like looking at every 100%. Single day, like as you're going to sleep, like, okay, what was my small victory today? What was my small win? Or just like something to be proud of yourself for doing or accomplishing that day. And I wish that I had
it could literally be like, hey, one of my small wins is that I actually got my butt out of bed. Like some days.
Yeah.
Some days my victory is that I did something outside of my bed.
I made my bed today. Like, yeah, right. No, I mean, especially like I don't work from home, but you do.
Yes.
And so like our small victories are going to look way different.
Totally.
And I mean, on the weekend, they might look more or less the same because I don't have to go into work on the weekend. But yeah, I can see like that would be incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Just working from home all the time and you just have to look more inward for your small victories.
You know? It's like, you know, so because I have a puppy, we are doing a lot of hands-on training. And it's the same thing as like Maggie with Cody. Every time that he nails a new trick, I'm so excited. I give him lots of treats. I'm very exuberant with my praise. Like it's a big deal. And then of course we go and I make all of our friends watch us do it because I'm
Like, you're proud. And you well,
I'm
show
so
it
proud.
Off.
I'm like, look at my dog. He's off. Doing all this cool stuff. But
yeah, you showed me the weave earlier today.
Right, where he was going in between my yes. legs. Although, he's getting a little too tall for that. Or I'm just too short for him to be weaving throughout my legs like that. It's probably a combination.
Maybe wear like stiletto heels next time you do that.
I'm like, he's like a 60-pound pit and not fully grown. And I'm a 5 foot almost one. Short person. So it's, you know, it is a big, it's really interesting when like he's doing that trick, but it's so exciting. Like mm-hmm. I get really excited about it. So if I'm celebrating his victories like that, why aren't I doing that with my own
with
stuff?
Yourself. Yeah.
Like how much more exciting would life be if you were, I did X, Y, and Z. Like I cooked a meal today.
Yeah.
Huge. Even if like you were cooking every day, but today you didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
And you did it anyways, celebrate that. Like that's, you know, that's such an accomplishment. And especially I think May is like mental health.
It is
mental awareness health or something, month. Right? So
it's also my birthday.
This
month.
Is a great uh-huh. opportunity to even talk. Yeah, happy birthday. So this is a great opportunity to kind of be putting those types of like implementing those types of things in your life. So it's fun to see it modeled in just, you know, here's a rom-com book. Like
yeah.
a lot of people just dust these under the rug, like, oh, it's romance, whatever.
Oh, yeah, they just like poo poo
like,
them.
There's
like,
so
no,
much
actually,
good
like,
stuff.
There is so much quality
life lessons
in this genre, just in general. Yeah. And no, I really like everything that you just said. And I'm going to try to remember everything that I was thinking while you were talking.
I'm sorry. I hope it wasn't like messing you up.
No, you weren't messing me up. I was just like, okay, I really want to remember what she said because I want to tie into that.
Well, don't worry. You can always just listen to the podcast again. Like, you'll true. Remember it. Although then you won't have to be able to contribute to
yeah.
it.
No, tying into what you were just talking about, small victories and everything like that. And so much of that, I feel like, comes from your inward, like, confidence. And that's, like, Silas had so much of that. And Maggie was kind of, like, in awe. Like, how do you... You're, like, so confident.
Right.
Like, you have so much confidence. And it just... Honestly, it goes back to his upbringing and his family and how his
right.
parents and how his moms in particular
yeah.
like really honed in on that. And so I think that the more confidence you have in yourself, it's going to be easier for you to pick out like, look at me go. Like I
right.
did this, this, and this. And so that's something that like does not come naturally to me.
Yeah. And it, I think it doesn't come naturally to most people. Like
yeah.
it has to become a habit. You have to continue to
yeah, just like
to practice it.
It's basically like working out your physical body. You need to work out your
yeah.
brain to rewire yourself to like every single day. What did I accomplish? Like I am capable of having confidence, and in fact, like it's healthy to be confident in yourself, even when you don't think there's anything
yep.
to be like proud of in yourself for that day, there is. And so, yeah, I really liked that aspect of this. And where she didn't like the author didn't outright come out and say, like, you know, a proponent for mental health, it was there, it was
yes.
there in the recurrent themes. And I liked
absolutely
that.
Like it was like in subtle ways. So yeah. it wasn't just in your face, hey, you need to do this, right? You read a self-help book and it's bam in your face, here's
right.
5 ways to change your life. It's
right.
it's not like that. It's like, look at how these characters live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so it's modeled in a way, which I think is more impactful, at least in my eyes.
Yeah. I think that it also, I don't know, I can't speak for the like the male perspective, but I feel like self-confidence might come a little bit easier to most men as opposed to women. I don't really know. Maybe
I don't know.
Just,
maybe they just fake it.
Maybe because I'm just a woman and that's how I'm not good at it. But I'm like looking at the two characters, like Maggie and Silas, and I'm like, it's just natural for Silas to be so confident in himself and just like carry that around. And then Maggie is like, not that she's like not confident, but she's
her confidence
also,
is in different ways.
Yeah, her confidence is in different ways. And
like hers is in like what she's able to do in making a house become a home
mm-hmm.
and being able to, you know, like that aspect. Like, but she also knows
her
that her lane
and her budgeting.
Is not, yeah, her lane is not doing the marketing. You know, her lane
right.
is not, doing the landscaping. She hired a company to come and do landscaping because
right.
her expertise is in the house.
It's in
so
the house,
I thought, I think that
vision.
Takes confidence too, to be like, I know that this is not where I excel. So I'm going to contract this out so I can focus on what I can excel at. That's where her confidence is.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know,
I like that
strong. Okay. I literally cried in this book.
What part?
The graduation. Cody's graduation scene.
Yes. I didn't cry, but I can definitely see.
I mean, I might have had like 2 or 3 tears, but it was literally like a tear up moment. I was so proud of Cody, which is weird because I'm like, I don't know this kid and he's actually fake. But
it was such a great
He was so sweet. Her commencement,
to be
all of
proud
it.
Of too.
And everybody, the entire, like his found family was louder than anybody else's like real families when he was walking across the stage. So, so beautiful.
I love that.
And then like, of course he found a girlfriend and did the whole graduation party. And I'm telling you, Cody was just such a great character.
He was such like an unexpected character and was one of the
just fantastic.
One of the most lovable characters though. And just, yeah, I agree. His character arc
next to Kevin.
Was Kevin's bacon.
No, but I did like when Kevin like brought her flowers and like dropped them at her feet on the porch, like, bleh, here you go. Here's that's literally how I imagine that. I had a dog who pulled out one of my rosemary bushes, the entire bush, and like brought it to me. So I was picturing that scene in my head when Kevin was dropping flowers.
Aren't you so proud of me? Look what I bought you,
Mom! I brought you flowers. No, dude, no. Mm-mm.
That was supposed to stay
in
the ground.
That's why there's roots. You probably had a heck of a time actually getting it out of the ground.
Actually, I'm pretty proud of the strength that it took, but bad dog.
Right. Like, couldn't you, like, let's just go pick some wildflowers, bud. But no. And now Goose loves chewing wildflowers, so it's a whole different thing. But no, it's just, I love Kevin.
Yeah.
He was just the sweetest.
Good old Kevin. I just love that right out of the gate, like in the very beginning of the book, he just like, aren't we introduced to Kevin when he's like gagging in the car ride where he's like about to throw up when Silas is
and Silas is like, don't do it, dude. Don't do it.
This is why I told you not to eat an entire thing of bacon.
Right. Oh my gosh. Again,
so funny.
Such a good character. And then of course he gets naked and he's like hosing down or whatever.
And then gets into the wrong truck because turns out they drive the exact same truck.
I forgot about that.
The same make and model.
Yep. The exact same.
He's like looking around like, where are the damn keys? And she's like, you're in my truck.
Yeah. Please get out of my truck. You're sitting naked in my truck. Well, in boxers, but yeah.
Oh man.
So funny.
I just remembered, actually, while we were talking about the whole confidence thing, one of the quotes that I saved
from this book.
Yeah, from the book. Yeah, it is. This is like halfway through the book, but it says, confidence comes from knowing that whatever the situation, you know you'll make the best of it. Confidence is certainty in your ability to rise. And so I loved that. And that
I think I did the same one.
And that came from Silas, obviously. And then she followed it up with her philosophical landscape lover.
I love that. Yeah. This might have been the same section. I'm not sure. But Maggie's like, this is where I'm supposed to tell you that hard work and staying focused on your goals is how you succeed. This was her commencement. Mm-hmm. And while that's true, success is only a very small part of life. That's not how you find happiness. Because at the end of the day, your quality of life is determined by the people you surround yourself with. I mean, can you not agree with that more?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, look, success is great in this world, but when it all comes to the end of your life, how many people in this world are going to remember you? The people who you were closest to.
Yep.
So you might have, you know, maybe you're a famous author and you have 2,500 books written. I don't know. People might remember you, but the people who are going to remember you the most and actually remember you for who you were and not just a name on a book, or whatever, you know, your rising star is, right? Your home renovation television show,
whatever your niche is,
whatever that is, like that's a fantastic thing to be contributing to this world, but it is not the only thing. It is not the most important thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's so much importance on what you do in this world.
All of these things that you accomplish,
right?
And like,
you have to go to college. You have to get a good job.
You have to get this degree.
If you don't make this money, then you just haven't succeeded yet. No,
right? If you don't
like success for you looks different.
If you don't climb the corporate ladder, then like, what are you even doing in your life? Well, no, people are going to remember you based off of like how you treated them.
Yeah,
and the relationships that you fostered and things like that. And like the, you know, if you made it a priority, basically, and they're not going to remember how much money you made. You got there, you got a hair tickle in your
right
face.
In my eyeball. Sorry.
I'm not going to remember you based off of how much money you made. But yeah, it's, and I think that, I don't know, for me, it was like, you know, I'm a millennial. I'm like towards the back end of millennials. I'm not a Gen Z, but I am a younger millennial, but still, like, it was basically, okay, you're going to go to, you're going to graduate high school. And then the next thing is you're going to go to college and you're going to go to college for 4 years. And I hope you know exactly what you want to do. And
we don't do gap years here in America, like elsewhere in the world.
And my gosh, like now being the age that I am, and yes, like I have a good career and I do for the most part enjoy being a nurse. If I could go back and do it again, I honestly would should have taken like at least a year off in between high school and Kevin, are you back?
Kevin? Is that you?
Is that you, Kevin?
Hopefully you didn't get in the bacon.
Are you trying to tell us something, Kevin? Is Silas out there?
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with one of my friends the other day, which I have told a few people my thoughts on this before, and nobody ever told me that it was wise until this one person actually was like, that was really good advice. And I was like, what? I just gave advice? Like, I was just talking, right? And my whole thing is, like, I'm grateful that I have a job where I'm not rising to the top. I'm not trying to be in management. I'm not trying to be C-suite. I'm not, you know, any of that. I am happy to be a cog in the machine that makes the machine work. Mm-hmm. And there's total anonymity in that, right? Not everybody knows me. I probably work with people who are like, I've never met you before. Couldn't put a face name to the face, all that stuff. And I said, I don't have any problems with that because I don't feel like that is where I'm supposed to make my impact in this world. My job is not where I find my identity or my success. Yeah. My, all of that comes to me from who I surround myself with, my community, my family,
your
my
relationships,
the way that I reach out to other people, you know, all of that. And she was, when I was telling my friend that, she was like, that was really wise. Like, I never thought about like not trying to strive for the top. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you're, they pepper that into your head, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to keep striving and doing and all this stuff. I mean,
well, it's from a young age when you look at primary and secondary schooling, like, that's what we're teaching.
Like,
our
you're
kids.
In middle school, and they're like, so what college are you going to? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how much pressure is it to know what you want to do for the rest of your life when you're in sixth, seventh, eighth grade?
Yeah.
For the love. Like, sorry. I can get on a soapbox about that because I think you should be able to reinvent yourself however many times you want to. And there should be freedom and there should be support and there should be kindness for all of that. But I don't feel like you always get that.
No, you don't always get that. But like, I am in agreement with everything that you just said for sure.
And you think I'm wise.
You're so wise.
I was just being funny. I just thought it was so sweet. I was like, somebody called me wise. I don't even know how to process
this
right now.
Such a fun compliment.
Right?
Like, you should always just write
that down.
Is it
because I'm old?
You're not.
Now I'm thinking about it. Usually only old people are wise.
You're wise beyond your years,
wise
Tony.
Beyond my years.
We're at our hour mark, actually.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll probably start wrapping up here. But was there any other quotes that stuck out to you?
No, not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I didn't have like any, aside from the one that I just, that I said a few minutes ago, but yeah, just overall, this was a very lovable book. It was not spicy.
Right.
I think we're going to settle on.
Like a 2-star. Yeah.
Two peppers.
Although I do have to just jump back real quick because I know I said no, but this isn't a quote, but I do remember their first kiss I thought was so funny, right? So they're like outside the restaurant. On a public spot. Dropping all of our equipment.
I'm dropping my
and like
yes,
so
first
he,
kiss.
He kisses her underneath this like awning on a public street and somebody
public.
Drives by and starts honking like right, take that to the
get a
to
bedroom
a room or whatever. And then his phone starts blowing up like her Silas was
sticking his tongue down some girl's throat in the middle of Main Street or something
like that. I thought that was hilarious.
That
like,
was funny.
Oh my goodness gracious.
But yeah, overall, it was such a lovable book, not super spicy. So if that's what you're looking for specifically, yeah, we would not recommend this
very
book.
Very enjoyable, but yes, not very, very enjoyable. Spicy.
The writing was great. The characters were even greater. I really enjoyed Lucy Score's writing style.
Yeah. I'm actually really excited to read more of her stuff. I have two of her books. Yeah. So
I want to read her Knock 'Em Out series. And then I think there's one called By a Thread that I have on my list as well. I've seen that one too.
I think I have, it's called Forever, Never or something like that. Never Forever. I don't remember the title of it, but yeah. I have that one as well.
She'll definitely be a repeat author for both of us, I think.
I think so. I agree.
Yes.
So, we liked it, Lucy. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. And two peppers.
And the pepper score is, that's not like a negative thing. It's we're just trying to give you guys like a spice.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for a spice gauge, we're just going to let you know it's not a super spicy. There is some spice, but it's not
very mild.
It's not a spicy.
It's not
like ghost peppers. It's like pepperoncinis. Like,
yeah. Pepperoncinis.
There you go. If we can relate to an actual pepper.
Maybe that's what we need to do is to base our spice off of the actual pepper.
Like Carolina Reapers could be Neon Gods. And
Perhaps. Might need to readjust that. Yeah, but I still love this book.
Yeah, as did I. So thanks for joining us on the Chicklet and Libations podcast with your hosts, Amanda.
And Tony.
Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Anchor. Catch our next episode where we will be discussing Scandalized by Ivy Owens. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to subscribe, share, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram at Chicklet and Libations, where you'll find our drink recipes, show notes, upcoming books, and so much more. We are Lit Chicks reviewing Chicklet.
Stay spicy.
Thank you.